This is ARTBEAT, WMUK's weekly look at creativity in the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. To ceramic artist Catherine Stasevich, creating a pot is a long and involved process. It involves choosing the plants and animals she wants to represent, doing a few preliminary sketches, researching habits and habitat, and creating the piece that's fired in the kiln. The Richland, Michigan potter mainly uses a Japanese-style wood-fired kiln known as Anagama. I asked Stasevich how she became interested in ceramics.
I started getting pretty serious about taking ceramics classes when I was around middle school age. Prior to that, you know, every artist always says, oh, I've been doing art for forever, for as long as I can remember. Well, I'd always been drawing. I always figured that I would be one of those people that illustrated the science textbooks. I was always drawing, you know, animals,
biological
wildlife.
Type of drawings.
Yeah.
Very precise.
But so I fell in love with ceramics, and by around maybe middle of high school, I had pretty much decided I'm going to be a potter. And it took me at least another decade after that to start actually bringing in some of the illustration that I was doing as a kid into my ceramics practice instead of, you know, just making beautiful glazed pottery. And I'd start painting on them and turning them into sculptures instead.
Well, I see the link with what you're saying. When I look at your pottery, there's a lot of, I think online you described it as wild and domestic flora and fauna, which shows that biological drawing interest.
I drew a lot of inspiration from old Audubon prints and old Japanese woodblock prints, Chinese ink wash paintings where they were doing, you know, those intimate little studies of, you know, just a little insect on a cherry blossom branch, something like that. And I've brought a lot of that influence into my painting style.
Other than just loving nature, is there a connection with sustainability, ecological issues? You're interested in sustainability?
I really am. I tend to practice a little bit of sustainability as much as I can in my own home, and in my own behaviors. And I don't always actually start out a concept thinking, okay, this is that. I'll pick one little subject. Like right now I'm working on these sculptural chalices with salamanders. So I picked a real specific little salamander and I started doing research on this little salamander and thinking about how I wanted this chalice to look. The way I was constructing the chalices, they reference the landscape. So I was looking for, what does the salamander eat? Where does it live? And I'm referencing on the chalices, you know, the leaves from some of the flora that comes into its habitat. And I found out, oh, this salamander species is a really particular niche creature that really only inhabits this one certain type of pond. It's a type of pond that appears and disappears throughout the year in woodlands, and that's an unusual thing. You don't usually have a pond in woodlands. It's going to be in a clearing. So this little guy, if you know your amphibians, you can really narrow in on what it is, and everything in this chalice starts to fit in with him perfectly. And I didn't necessarily plan right from the start. This is what it's going to be, but it evolved into that by the end.
This is ARTBEAT on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I ask Stasevich about her creative process.
As far as my techniques go, I do a lot of vessels that are thrown and altered, or I use hand-building techniques in my thrown vessels. So I make a base on the pot. Think of it as a sketch, or not on the pot, but on the potter's wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as a sketch. So I'll make a very messy sort of outline of what the basic form of the creature is going to be. And then I'll take that vessel and I'll chop it up into bits, cut into it, add to it, stretch it, pinch it, start to turn it into something that more closely resembles an animal than a vase, say, and add like all of the little details as things get refined. So it's very, very much like refining a sketch process. And the way I fire these, it is a special kiln. It's a wood-fired kiln. And wood-fired kilns are a type of kiln that you need to have a community to be able to fire for the most part. Some small ones, a single potter may be able to fire by themselves, but when you think about you have to be able to tend that fire for 24 hours as long as that kiln's firing, and most wood fire kilns are going to fire for more than one day, it becomes a little bit of a challenge if you're a single person.
So does somebody have to constantly tend to that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just walk away.
No, because you might be putting wood in every 5 minutes. You might be putting wood in every hour at some points. But
Wow. But
you have to be there kind of watching the kiln to see what state of the firing it's at and be prepared to put wood in it.
So you have like a team of potters who and you kind of trade off?
Yes, you do. We just take shifts like, you know, regular old shift work, but regular old shift work sitting at the bonfire and putting wood in it. The gigantic bonfire. It's a 2,400 degree fire at the front of the kiln.
What's the kiln built out of?
Bricks.
Bricks.
Really high temperature bricks. So you might not encounter these at, you know, Lowe's or Menards, your local hardware store.
I guess not. So what drew you to this kind of a kiln versus other kinds that maybe are a little easier on your clock?
A few things. It became really an addictive process almost instantly for me. It was a thing that I did at once, and I immediately fell in love. I fell in love with the community of the wood kiln. I fell in love with the process of tending the kiln. It's a really satisfying thing by the end of it, by the time you've, you know, chopped all the cords of wood that you're going to burn in the kiln and, you know, spent hours adding the wood to the fire and tending the fire. You have a real feeling of satisfaction at the end. And it brings colors to my pots that are unique to this firing process that you can't duplicate in any other type of kiln. It's a kiln where you don't have to glaze your pots. So I get these really beautiful warm browns and oranges and flashes of red and bleached out white streaks on my pots that really create an atmosphere. I get In one of my painted landscapes, it often looks like sun filtering through trees, or I've had some that look like a misty field with sheep in them. And these are all things that I can predict a little bit are going to happen, but it's like I can predict one of these results will happen, and it'll be a great result out of 20 possibilities.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with ceramic artist Catherine Stasevich. She'll show her work as part of the annual Arts and Eats Tour, October 19th and 20th. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation and join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.